Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to Edgewise, where you'll hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Within this episode, we're going to spend some time with former Medtronic CEO and now author Bill George, discussing his new book, True North. Before we talk to Bill, we'd like to invite you to provide feedback on this podcast by either emailing us at podcast@amanet.org or calling us at 800-697-3406. Your email or phone message might be heard on a future episode. Bill George was chief executive of Medtronic, the world's leading medical technology company, from 1991 until 2001, and chairman of the board from 1996 to 2002. Under his leadership, Medtronic's market capitalization grew from $1.1 billion to $60 billion, averaging 35% growth per year. Currently, he's a professor of management practice at the Harvard Business School and serves on the board of directors of ExxonMobil, Goldman Sachs, and Novartis. He has also served on the board of the Target Corporation. So, Bill, you've just written a book titled True North. What does True North refer to?
True North is who you are at your deepest level, all the things that go into making you a unique human being on this earth, from your family of origin to your background to the people of influence along the way and all the things you've had as experiences. The reason we picked True North is because many people, as they go off and face the pressures and seductions of the real world, lose sight of who they are in trying to be something different than they are or complying with these various pressures.
Could you say more about what exactly causes people to lose their way?
I think it's really important to, in knowing who you are, to be well-grounded, and that takes a program of development. But many people don't do that, and they get themselves into top-level leadership roles, and they realize they're an imposter, or they aren't well-grounded in terms of their values and leadership principles and ethical boundaries, and so they fall prey to little by little, bit by bit, deviating from their values. Or they may be out seeking glory, money, fame, power, and success.
Bill, you talked a lot about values in your previous book, Authentic Leadership, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And so when we think about authentic values, what's the one thing we need to keep in mind?
Well, being well-grounded in what your values are, I'd never tell anyone what their values should be, but I think you need to know who you are and they need to stay true to that. And you know, you never know what someone's values are until they've been tested under pressure. It's not enough to just list your values. You've got to test those values under pressure, because that's when people deviate.
Bill, tell me why you advocate a personal development plan.
One of the things that came out of our interviews with 125 authentic leaders was the need to take responsibility for developing yourself, all the way from gaining self-awareness about who you are, to being clear about your values and principles, to balancing your intrinsic and extrinsic motivations, to leading an integrated life. These are all things you have to do if you're going to be a fully developed leader. And then, as a result of all that work, you know the purpose of your leadership.
So where do you start?
Well, I think it starts with self-awareness. I think it starts with developing emotional intelligence by having a clear sense of who you are and what grounding you come from and being true to your roots. And if you can have a coherence in your life story, we found that leaders didn't want to talk about their skills and competencies. They wanted to talk about their life stories, about where they'd come from, who they were, the influence of their parents or a teacher or a coach, or a very negative experience like a crucible they went through at some point in their life.
As a leader, how do you confront your personal blind spots?
Well, that's one of the most difficult things. I consider it like peeling an onion and getting past some of these blind spots to the core of your being by peeling the onion back. One of the ways to do it is to have people around you who will confront you or share with you or help you. I always say if you have one person in your life with who you can share who you are and be totally open, whether it's a spouse, significant other, best friend, mentor, or a therapist, you know, somebody you can be really totally honest with. And I think that's very important.
So True North is not just for business, is it?
Well, we interviewed mostly business leaders, but we interviewed a lot of nonprofit leaders. who headed major organizations like Wendy Kopp, who founded Teach for America, and such some terrific nonprofits. So I think it clearly could apply there, certainly could apply to education and government. I'm not sure about politics. That's a different world I know nothing about.
Can you also apply the True North philosophy to employees in your organization?
Oh, absolutely. No, it does apply to employees in the organization. One of the philosophies we have is we shouldn't be waiting until we get a title to step up and lead, or you shouldn't be looking at the person on top, but you can step up and lead right now because leadership is your choice, not your title.
And Bill, how do you expand the True North philosophy to your entire team?
Well, I think if members of the team can be empowered to lead, as a leader, your job is not to get people to follow you, but to empower them to step up and lead. And so if you can be authentic with them, it's much easier for them to be open and authentic with you. And so it starts with building that long-term lasting relationship between you and members of your team, and then giving them the opportunity to step up and lead in supporting them when they fail or when things don't go their way, because each of these is a learning experience.
How important is empowerment? And how do you go about empowering people?
If you want to have a successful organization, you better empower your employees. There's no such thing as running it straight by the numbers. In the end, you will fail. You may be successful short-term. You'll never succeed in the long-term unless you have empowered employees who can provide great service to your customers, can be innovative and creative at what they do, and feel passion for the work that you're doing. If you don't do that, there's no way you can get the best out of your people, and then you won't be competitive.
And, of course, you empowered the people at Medtronic, right?
I sure tried. We had a great culture starting with the founder of Medtronic, Earl Bachman, where it was all about restoring people to full life and health. And people got very excited around that common mission. So my whole idea of empowerment is to focus on that mission and why we're there. But, you know, it doesn't have to be saving lives. One of the people we interviewed for the book, Dave Dillon, who's CEO of Kroger, talks about empowering his people to help customers in such a way that you make everyone's experience in that store a little bit better, because you'll take them to the aisle, help them find what they want, and just feel good about shopping at a Kroger store.
I know that when you first joined Medtronic, right before you became CEO, you were very involved in developing a strategy that could be executed. So how did you ensure an alignment of strategy to mission and then an execution of that strategy?
Well, I look at mission and values as the building block on which we build our strategies. And if it isn't consistent with the mission, in the end, it's not going to work, because people will not be able to carry it out. They'll be confused about why we're in business in the first place. But the strategy comes from that. For instance, at Medtronic, after I'd been CEO for just a few months, we put in place the expansion of the strategy from being the world's leading pacemaker company to being the world's leading medical technology company. And at the time, we didn't know exactly how we were going to do that. We put that strategy in place, and we continued to flesh it out through a series of internal research programs, innovations, and acquisitions, to the point where the company has gone from, when I joined it, about $750 million in sales to around $13 billion today.
Impressive. Now let's talk about some of the mistakes that executives make when executing strategy.
Well, I think the biggest mistake they make is being too short-term and focusing on the numbers, and thinking that it's all about the numbers. It's not hard, as we saw in the case of Home Depot, it's not hard to take key people out of a store and increase the profitability, but you're not going to have the level of service of your customers, you're not going to have the commitment of your people to that if you take that philosophy. And there's far too much focus today on short-term strategies to get profits up to satisfy short-term shareholders, rather than building a strategy to make this the best company in the industry, whatever your industry is, for the long term.
Okay, so how important is it to have a flexible strategy?
I think strategy has to be flexible, has to be adaptive. The role of the leader is to define reality. That's the first thing you have to do. You have to see how the context is shifting, and you have to change. If there are new technological developments, if markets change, you see great retailers like Target stay very flexible and are always adapting the market, whereas the Sears Roebuck was unable to adapt to its changing customers, and that's why they're out of business, and that's why they sold out.
What words of advice would you offer to a leader on how to execute a strategy?
The execution of strategy depends, first of all, do you have a sound strategy? And second, then do you have the commitment of all your people to it? And then third is you have to be closed loop and follow up, provide the resources to get it done. Don't shortchange the resources. And then finally, close the loop to make sure that the strategy is working. If it's not working, then be adaptable. And I would say that's right. Very key, to be adaptable to changes in your strategy. Doesn't mean you're abandoning a strategy. It means you have to adapt to changing conditions.
And our final question today, what advice do you have for leaders who are moving to executive positions?
Well, first of all, be authentic and be yourself. And you're no different than you were the day before. So don't get some inflated view of your new role. And don't get carried away with your power. Minimize and be very judicious in the use of your power. And second, I think most important of all, is stay clear about your true north, to who you are as a person, and convey that authentically. And if you can do that, you'll be successful as a leader. But if you lose sight of that, there's no strategy in the world that will make you successful.
So true north is the way to go.
It certainly is, knowing your true north and knowing who you are and carrying through on that. And that's all anyone can ask of you.
The book is True North. The author is Bill George. Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yep, it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview a random person who is attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. Take it away, Kevin.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lee in the AMA Center. I'm asking participants today to think about their favorite leader and what leadership value do they see most in that leader.
I'd have to say it's been my mentor at work, and what I call what she has, TPC, tact, patience, and composure. And that gives her the ability to address any kind of conflict. She keeps her cool. She diffuses the confrontation, and I aspire to be like her.
A leader that I admire is at work, and he holds a pretty high position at my company. And I think what sets him apart is his ability to relate and inspire. And he's very good at, you know, giving clear direction. But mostly the way he inspires those who work for him just draws you to want to do more, to want to be more productive. And he does it in a very sincere way.
What was something that he did or said that made you feel like, oh, he's sincere, he's listening to me, he trusts me?
I think on a day-to-day, I deal with a lot of tense or difficult situations, and he's always been, even at his level, very approachable. I could walk in and, you know, 5 minutes of his time, and he's always encouraged my assessment of the situation as opposed to imposing his own view.
As a child, I was very inspired by John F. Kennedy. Inspiration, the idealism that he projected was, I think, really influential on me.
And what is the most important leadership value for you?
Well, to me, the important leadership value is someone who can actually help identify my potentials or help me develop my potentials further than my own expectations, where they could allow me to grow to more than what I ever thought I was capable of. And in doing that, this person usually is the type of person that makes you feel comfortable, makes you feel that they understand, that they have empathy for what you're trying to accomplish, and those type of skills or things that you want to emulate at some point in your career.
All right, so the question is, what value do you consider most important for yourself as a leader?
You need to stay consistent, because once people see where you're bending for others, they're going to take advantage of that. In my position, where I've been a team leader less than a year, I'm working with guys that have been in the field for 20 plus years. So that was one of the first things I started concentrated on, was getting respect from my guys. And then I started looking at where I could improve their skills and their path.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org. Or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to Edgewise.